Well, that's a good question. I'm currently a professor of political theory at the University of Bologna. In order to define what I do, what I have been doing in recent years, the first thing I would say is that I travel a lot. As far as my training is concerned, well, it was very much characterized by histories of political militancy and activism that shaped the very way in which I started to study and then to do research. I was very much active in the so-called Italian autonomist movement since the late 70s. And I have continued to be involved in social and political movements until now, and I hope I will continue in the future. Maybe the other thing I should say about that is that since the early 90s I have been mainly involved in movements, struggles of migration in Italy, but also in Europe. And this, let's say, encounter with migration in the early 90s has also shaped my intellectual and theoretical activity. In previous years, I had worked a lot on the history of political, legal, social sciences in Germany between the end of the 19th and the beginning of the 20th century. But since the early 90s, migration has become a kind of prominent topic for me. And working on migration, I have started to work on citizenship, globalization, from the point of view of the challenges posed by migration. I have encountered the so-called post-colonial criticism, which has also become an important field of work for me. And in the last years, I have worked a lot on borders, on the transformations of borders in Europe, but not only in Europe. I am currently engaged in a book project with an Australian friend of mine. It will be a book on borders.
Book on borders. Okay, now we tackled borders, so, and your work in university. So what is the role of university within the borders, and what are the borders within university?
Well, you know, I think it is interesting to look at the university and the transformations of the university itself from the angle provided by borders. And this is particularly true in the European case, where we are experiencing a kind of systematic transformation of the university system, which is usually referred to as Bologna process. If you look at Europe, you easily see that the borders between existing national university systems are being blurred. And parallel to this blurring of borders between national systems, there has been a process of blurring of the boundary between public and private sector in the university. And this second process of blurring of a boundary has to be understood within a wider framework, that is, within the framework of the emergence of a kind of global university model that has its forms of implementation that can differ in different parts of the world, but is nevertheless, predicated upon some common principles that are in a way corresponding to neoliberal theories of education.
So where is this neoliberal hegemonic? Is university as well one of the institutions in the structure of neoliberalism, especially in terms of reforms and reformation, present reformation?
You know, I think that if you look at the Bologna system, it is quite easy to see that it was shaped by neoliberal principles and rhetoric. The principle of permanent training, for instance, the principle of a kind of fine-tuned relationship between the university and the labor market. But at the same time, I think we should also take into account the fact that this system is not working particularly well, and not only from the point of view of its critics, also from the point of view, of its supporters. It is not working very well, first of all, because of the resistances that have characterized the process of its implementation. And when I talk about resistances, I do not refer only to open struggles and movements against the system. I also refer to mass behaviors that have run against the rationality of the system. One of the basic points in this rationality was the introduction of the two steps system. But this rationality could work if many students were satisfied with the first step. And this is not happening. This is not happening. There is a kind of claim for further training, for further education, that is concretely expressed by the behaviors and practices of thousands and thousands of students who want to go on, Take, for instance, the PhD, And if you look at how many people in Europe want to do a PhD, it's quite astonishing. And maybe there is also, let's say, a kind of tactical pragmatism there is no, there are no jobs. And so what do? I stay at the university for 3, 4, 5 years more.
So,
but nevertheless, I mean, this is important, you know, because this runs against the rationality of the system.
So we can think as well now the present struggles of students as well as the social struggles to, I mean, in terms of crisis, to find the new ways of what the new system should be and where are those struggles going?
Well, I think so. I think this is a good interpretation of the current struggles in many European countries. And in a way, you could also say that struggling students are taking the rhetoric of the permanent training seriously, you know. And they are doing that in a situation in which, because of the crisis, what governments do, independently of their political color, is cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting. So I think there is really a kind of demand for knowledge, training, that is not to be separated by a demand for the specific forms of sociability, of social cooperation that is linked with the sharing of knowledge, with the very process of training, of education, and so on. It is clear that the current crisis is a kind of showing that the whole rhetoric of the knowledge economy and society was just a rhetoric. Or better, that it captured an important element of the reality of contemporary capitalism. That means the growing relevance of knowledge within the apparatuses of production in contemporary capitalism. But at the same time, the crisis shows that this role of knowledge in contemporary capitalism cannot be separated by very tough environment processes of hierarchization and even destruction of the productive capacity, productive forces of knowledge workers, information.
Where does it go, the new production of knowledge? Where is there some paradigmatic twist within the production of knowledge or not? If we are looking that through the prism of current fights in university and within university.
I mean, from this point of view, the current struggles in university are to be understood as struggles against processes of hierarchization and processes of creative destruction of intellectual productive forces that are linked to the reorganization of capitalism in and beyond the crisis. I don't think that after the crisis, if there will be a moment after the crisis, capitalism will be less dependent on knowledge and cognitive labor. I really don't think so. If you look at the kind of attempts to overcome the crisis that are done in different parts of the world, let's take China and Argentina, for instance. Well, the first thing that both governments have done has been to increase the investment in public education. So this is a quite interesting sign, you know, also in order to understand the shifting kind of relationships of power at the global level.
So North-South continent. But on the other hand, it's really interesting that, okay, we have some increasing of the funds, especially in China and Argentina, but basically Europe is always talking about knowledge-based society, making basically now the biggest cuts in tertiary education and stuff like that. So,
well, this is what I was meaning when I spoke about the reorganization of power relationships at the global level. You know, China and Argentina are only two examples. There are other, you know, and it is quite realistic to say that these countries will play a more and more important role in world economic and politics after the crisis. What I was suggesting is that Europe is really kind of marginalizing itself, especially if we look at Europe considering it kind of unitary space, European Union. Because if we look at member states, then you find member states who are investing a lot on public education and knowledge production. For instance, Germany, and also France, in a way. Because France was kind of forcing, the French government was kind of forcing a process of deep reorganization of the university system. In 2008, there was a very strong resistance, there was a very powerful movement against that reform, but nevertheless, the Sarkozy government was able to implement the reform. And it is, a reform along the lines of the Bologna process, along the lines of the neoliberal principles, and so on. But what distinguishes France from Italy, for instance, is that the Sarkozy government decided to make huge investments in this new neoliberal system of tertiary education. And okay, you can say that you don't like it. I don't like it, of course. I mean, but at least there is a difference, and you must be aware of this difference when you look at France and Italy, for instance. Where they are kind of disrupting the existing system, proposing a reform along neoliberal principles without any money, without any investment.
What about, theoretical idea of university as a basis for creative commons, like licensing, no more copyrights, but we could deal with copyleft. I mean, now we are speaking basically still on national sort of production of knowledge, but on the other hand, everybody are quoting basically the same authors and stuff like that. So what can we do here? Can we start to speak about, global knowledge, or the knowledge is still a domain of the national states and their Ausbildung?
Well, I think this is really a fundamental point. I think that what characterizes current developments in university systems, what I was referring to before with the phrase global university, points precisely toward the nationalization of universities and knowledge productions. And this is a point that
is not really at the center of current struggles and mobilizations in Europe. You know, I think the biggest limit of these struggles has been precisely the fact that they developed within national spaces, while the polemical target of these struggles is not anymore a national target. So it is really very difficult to imagine successful struggles for the invention of a new model of university if this problem of the European dimension is not seriously tackled by students' movements and struggles. What I think is particularly interesting, at least in the Italian experience, is the spread of experiences of so-called self-education in university. That means, I mean, self-managed seminars where new methods and procedures of knowledge production can be experienced, you know, can be experimented. And I think that such experiences have to be really multiplied if we are to be able of speaking of university in terms of new commons and global knowledge.